Good morning.
Good morning.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. So Paul here, he begins in closing the epistle to the Ephesians, and he's giving them an exhortation to be strong in the Lord. And when we're looking at this, it's important to remember that Paul is speaking to regenerated persons. He calls them brethren in verse 10. He calls them brethren. And the reason why he speaks to them in this manner is that they're the only ones that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so he qualifies it. This is to brethren that he's writing this epistle to. It's not to everyone in the world. It's to the church at Ephesus and to the church at large, where we're blessed and benefited by this word. And so he speaks to brethren, telling them, be strong in the Lord, because we're the ones who are able to hear that. We're able to hear that in the Spirit. And we walk by faith. We walk by faith. And so when we hear this word, we're to hear it by faith. We're to hear it by the Spirit. And that means that we're looking to the Lord to help us to hear this word and to believe what the Lord is saying to his people. I titled this message, Finally, My Brethren. Finally, My Brethren. And the first part, I want to look at this exhortation in verse 10. And then we'll move on to verses 11 through 13. So here in this closing exhortation, Paul says, Finally, My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I was looking at that and reading that earlier this week and thinking, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What is Paul saying? What does that mean to be strong in the Lord? Well, it means that we're weak in the flesh. To be strong in the Lord is to be weak in the flesh. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're frail and sickly in the flesh, but it might. It might include that. Sometimes brethren are weak in the flesh and are going through trials and infirmities in their flesh. But what Paul is speaking about, or what we're talking about in being strong in the Lord as opposed to being strong in the flesh, is we're not looking to the tactics. We're not leaning on the strength of our flesh. We're not looking to operate in the way that the flesh operates, the way we scheme and try to work things in our favor when things aren't going well for us in the flesh. And so the strength of each one, the strength of the flesh, the strength of the Spirit, only one can be true. We call that mutually exclusive. Only one can be true. And so we're either walking in the light of Christ or we're walking by the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit of God. And so we're either walking by the Spirit or we're walking in the flesh, and that means we're walking in darkness. We're walking as in the former conversation. And Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 4:22. And he describes this walk as in our old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Let me just repeat that again, since I know we're a bit distracted. We're either walking in the light of Christ, being led of the Spirit, or we're walking by the flesh. And we're walking according to that corrupt nature. And so both can't be true. One is strong and the other weak. And one is weak when the other is strong. And so Paul's saying, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Lord, brethren. And so when we're thinking of this being strong in the Lord, we're not leaning on our fleshly wisdom and our fleshly strength and being turned to our own devices. We're looking to the things of the Lord. The Lord's not going to have his people being puffed up and arrogant and proud of the things that they pulled off and the things that we were able to accomplish going back to the old man to get somebody who's done something to us. So how are we to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Well, first of all, we're going to see that this is a continual looking to Jesus Christ. We're going to be made to continually look to him and to see the need for us to continually look to him. The Lord's going to teach us that. He's going to make us to know our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll come to learn and understand. He's all my stay. He's my strength. He's my anchor. He's exactly what I need. And we're going to cry out for that. We're going to see our need of him. And so the believer being taught and led by the Spirit is going to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Now, what is that? What do I mean by growing in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord? The simplest way to understand that we do grow in knowledge. But the way that we grow in knowledge is we see more and more that Jesus Christ is all. That's what we're learning. In everything and all the nuances and all the little variations that we experience in growing in knowledge, it's all bringing us to see that Jesus Christ is all. And as you grow in your understanding of doctrine, it's leading you to see that Jesus Christ is all and to behold his glory and his majesty and wisdom and working all things together for our good, to the praise, honor, and glory of his name. And so we're learning that we don't keep ourselves, but that Christ is the great shepherd. And we're seeing how he leads or stops and prevents or brings us another way. It's all by his wisdom as the great shepherd leading his sheep and bringing us along. And he's the one keeping us, and we find that it's not by my strength. I ruined it, or I would have ruined it, but the Lord kept the work. The Lord makes me strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in his might, in his power, and not this flesh. And then second, we see what our Lord tells us is that he's going to teach us these things through afflictions and tribulations and persecutions. Doesn't matter. All these things that come against the flesh, that weaken us in the flesh, they're all under the hand of our good shepherd. They're all in the hand of the Lord. Listen to a few of these things that Paul says in Romans 5:3. He says, "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Then, when writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And then to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, he said, "No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto." And so with all these tribulations and persecutions and afflictions, we're coming to know and understand that we don't war against these things and we don't endure these things by our own strength and our own devices, but rather by the goodness and the mercy and the grace of our God, stripping us of strength in the flesh, bringing us to our knees, bringing us to see our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see how the Lord dealt with Paul. We see Paul and how he was used of the Lord to effect great things in the kingdom of God by the power of God. not by his own strength, not by his own abilities. And so in 2 Corinthians 12, there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, this is where Paul is speaking of his infirmity in the flesh, the weakness, the thorn in his flesh that the Lord gave him. And Paul sought the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh, to heal him or to take it away. And the Lord said to Paul in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And so we see that through all these infirmities and the reproaches, the necessities, the persecutions, the distresses that we come into, they're all given to make us look to Christ for help. We see our weaknesses, and we see that Christ is all the more necessary for us. We need him. We're brought to behold our need of the Lord more and more. And so this is the fruit of the Spirit in his child. It's the fruit of the Spirit in his child, so that the child of God, as the bride of Christ, is made to look to her husband. She's looking to him to guide her, to lead her, to teach her, to bring her through all the difficulties that his church goes through. Her husband is bringing her through these things, and he's providing for her and watching out for her and caring for her and giving her things needful. And he does that as the husband of his bride, the church. And this is walking in the Spirit. This is not trusting to our own strength. This is being led by the Spirit. Paul says it this way over in Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. Romans 8, 14 and 15. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You're the children of God that are being led by the Spirit. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Our God isn't turning us to our flesh to work godliness and to work righteousness. Just the opposite. He's showing us that our flesh is weak and that Christ is all. He's all our strength. He hasn't turned us back to the flesh where we'll be laboring in a spirit of bondage and fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And what the Lord's saying to us there is that by faith we're breathing out to the Spirit, "Lord, help me. Lord, keep me from turning to my flesh. Lord, keep me from responding in the flesh and getting angry and striking back when I'm struck by another. Lord, keep me ever looking to Christ. I need your grace. I need your strength. Lord, help me." And that's breathing out and crying out in the Spirit, "Abba, Father, save me, keep me, forgive me. Lord, I need you. I don't have it in myself." The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And so the Lord's causing us, he's turning us to look away from self. He's causing us to look for his salvation, which he abundantly and freely, graciously provides in his Son. And so Paul sees through all these infirmities and reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses that these things result in what? He said it there in 1 Corinthians 12:9, I believe it was. He says that the power of Christ rests upon me. It's that the power of Jesus Christ would rest upon me. And so our God's teaching us to look to Him, to look to Him, to stop looking to self, and to look to our Lord and Savior. Now, from this exhortation, before I move on to the next verses, we see we gain these three things here in the Lord teaching us to be strong in Him. So first, every exhortation that's led up to this point and every exhortation that follows here from Paul in this epistle, these things are impossible for us in the flesh. We learn that these things are impossible for us to do. We don't have the ability of this flesh to be strong in the Lord. That's something the Spirit has to give to us. And second, we see that by His power and grace, that's what's overcoming our enemies. The enemies of this flesh, the enemy of our flesh, literally, the enemy of sin and Satan and the grave and death and all the warfare that we go through, it's Christ's power and grace that puts that down. It's Christ that does that. And third, though we're weak and insufficient in ourselves, the blessing is that we see the sufficiency that our God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. These are all the things that the Lord is teaching us as He's leading us by the Spirit. He gives us these things to know. All right, now let's move on to verses 11 through 13, where Paul, you know, he's building off this exhortation to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now in Ephesians 6:11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What is the whole armor of God? It's what the Lord is always teaching us. The whole armor of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the armor of God. This is a metaphor that we're being given here, looking at this armor, but it's speaking of Christ and all His benefits that He's obtained by His righteousness, in which He gives and pours out abundantly upon His people. Jesus Christ is the armor of God. And so what we're saying is Christ is my protection. Christ is my defense. Christ is the one who fights for me. He's the one who fights for the brethren. And all the attacks and the assaults of the evil one, Paul describes them here as the wiles of the devil. It means he's a cunning one. He's crafty. He's deceitful. He's artful in his ways. And he's a tricky one. And he's not to be messed with by us. We don't challenge him. We look to the Lord to rebuke the devil. We don't have any strength of ourselves. We look to Christ. And Christ is the one who rebukes our enemy. And he's the one who drives him off. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:11, here again where he's speaking of the church forgiving a brother for a grievous sin. And he's encouraging them, receive that brother. Receive that brother who's committed that gross sin, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his purpose and his thought. In his mind and what he's up to. We get it. We know what he does. So if a brother will be reconciled to you, be reconciled to them. Don't put them off, because that just gives an opportunity for the evil one to come in there and just cause more trouble. More trouble. That was from 2 Corinthians 2:11, by the way. Now for this cause, Paul says back in Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, he said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Because these things always crop up. There's always an occasion to be angry with your brother, to be angry with your spouse, to be angry with a friend, to be angry about something. But he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be reconciled to your brother. Be reconciled to your fellow. Be reconciled to one another. Be watchful in prayer, because that's how the enemy operates. And he gets in there and he finds that root of bitterness and he starts tapping on it and getting it all hot and bothered. And so Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because you're given more and more time for him to operate and to affect his craft in our hearts and minds. But our God here in our text, we see he's given us armor and he's given us weapons for the purpose of our protection, to keep us, to keep our hearts. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his gospel. It's the doctrine of Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that we're his. And all this world is not our kingdom. It's not his kingdom. It's all passing away. And we have the eternal inheritance of our God in Jesus Christ. And so let all things be put in that perspective, that these things that we fight over and get upset about, they're all passing away. They're all fading away. They're all worthless things in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this armor, these pieces of armor, they're pictures of what our Lord has obtained for us. It's a picture of what he's obtained for us. Our Lord came as the Lamb of God. He came in the flesh, in the likeness of this sinful flesh, yet without sin, and is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And he goes to the cross for his people. And he laid down his life, answering for our sins to the Father. The sins of his people, he answered for them. He paid the price for them, to satisfy the wrath of God against you, that you and I, who believe on him, go free. We go free from that wrath and that punishment. And he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. And these are his ascension gifts. These are the gifts which God has given to him to divide these spoils with the strong, with his people, whom he's made strong in himself. And so these are all given to us for our comfort and our protection. And we'll look at them more another time. We don't have time to get into all of them now, but we're looking at, they're all pictures of Christ our Savior. All right, now, Paul, he's making sure here that it's clear to us why we're given this armory of our God. Look at verse 12, Ephesians 6:12. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so what Paul is saying here is these are the kingdom of darkness coming against, trying to come against the purpose of God. And they're coming against you that are the Lord's people, that are walking in the light and being led by the Spirit. And he's saying, we experience these things for the gospel's sake. And these struggles, they come upon us, and these difficulties, they're much deeper than the surface, the first surface appearance of why these things come. A lot of times all the time when we walk in the flesh, when we're just doing our thing and we're just looking out for ourselves and our mind is not on the Lord, we see difficulties from another person as, look at this guy, he's just trying to make trouble for me. They're just being a pain to me and they're just trying to give me a hard time, or we get upset with the system or the way things are and we let these things bother us. But Paul is saying, understand that this darkness, which is coming to try you, is coming against the light of the gospel. And they're troubling you for your faith in Christ. Remember Christ. Look to Christ. Don't let these things trouble you and move you out of your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not what we're doing. We're not wrestling against that person in front of you who's giving you a hard time. That's just flesh and blood. But that's really not what's going on. There's more to it that's coming to try you. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, and look at verses 3 through 5 with me. Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so, when your mind is set upon the Lord, it's much easier to deal and process why someone's giving you such a hard time. And when your mind is on Christ, you're not going to respond to them in the flesh in the same way and just keep escalating it and making it worse and worse. Set your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be mindful of Him, praying for His strength and His grace, that He keep you, that He keep our hearts, that He keep us knowledgeable that these things are just that. They're just things that are passing away. And so our Lord says, show them kindness. Be kind to them. Be gentle with them that war against you. In Romans 12, verses 17 through 19, Romans 12, 17 through 19, Paul, he says, recompense or don't pay back any man evil for evil. Don't do that. Even if you think they deserve it, don't pay back evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that doesn't mean that you can't talk to one another if they're offending you or giving you a hard time, but talk to them in kindness and try to seek peace with them and to reconcile with them. Dearly beloved, he says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And I remember that when we were going through that, one of the things that the Lord showed us in that those verses there is, they may be a child of God. And if they're the Lord's, they may not know Him yet, but if they're the Lord's, Christ bore that wrath. Whatever sin they're committing against you, Christ bore that for them also, just as He bore the wrath that was our due. So give place. Don't take out on them that which perhaps Christ already took for them in their place. So don't fight evil with evil. Be kind, because the Lord may use that. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and staying upon Him, He may use that to instruct them. And they see your steadfastness in the faith of Christ. And so with this understanding, Paul says now back in our text, Ephesians 6:13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see how he's putting us in the mind of Christ, and that we're bringing that understanding with us, that this, it's all, we're the Lord's. We're the Lord's servants. We're His people. And we have this wonderful mystery of God's grace and mercy in Christ revealed to us. And the best thing we can do for anyone is to shine that light, to bear witness to Christ, our Lord and Savior, and what He's done for us. And after you've already lashed out at somebody, it's really hard to then suddenly bear testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the best thing we can do is be thinking and mindful of our Savior to begin with. And so we stay upon our Lord, and they may see your continued hope. It can have an effect on people when they see that this person just keeps going back to Christ, and they love the Lord, and all they talk about is the Lord, and they keep leaning upon Him, and that may be the thing that the Lord uses to conquer their rebellious heart and to recover them by His grace, just as we've been delivered from eternal death by His grace. Now, Paul, he repeats this in verse 13. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Well, back in verse 11, he said basically the same thing when he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, why do you repeat a thing? Why do any of us repeat something? A lot of times we repeat something when it's important, right? You'll say something because of the importance of it. You may say something to someone when you feel like they're not really considering the weight and the importance of what you're saying. I would imagine as a teacher, you know, you say something to the kids, you tell the class something that's important, and then you repeat a thing once the context is known better. Right? So you'll tell them something important, you'll then give them the context of why it's important, and then you'll go back and you can repeat it again because now they have the context and understand, oh, this is why they said that. Most of the time, you and I learn that by experiencing it the hard way, right? Then we go, oh, that's why my parents said that. That's why this person told me that, and I didn't understand what they meant, but now I get it because I've experienced it. I understand the context of it. And so Paul tells the brethren to put on the whole armor of God. And then what did he do in between, right? In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Then in verse 12, he says, because this is the enemy that we face. This is what's going on. This is the context that we're in. We're in this warfare, this spiritual warfare, all the time. All the time. Now, having explained the context, he repeats it again to them, take unto you the whole armor of God. And so I just want to highlight that because, again, when we go out of here, you take that with you, that context. There's a spiritual warfare. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. All right. Now, to that end, as we're closing up, I already said we'll look more at the armor at another time, the pieces. They're all blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of what He's obtained and given to us in Himself. But I do want to call your attention to verse 18. The beginning of verse 18, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, in conclusion, Paul says, praying always. Now, go back to the beginning in verse 10 when Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's a prayerful thing. That's a prayerful thing. We don't have the ability in this flesh to be strong in the Lord or to be strong in the power of His might. The flesh doesn't have the capacity to do such a thing. That tells us it's a prayerful thing. We're praying, Lord, keep me strong in You. Lord, keep me looking to You. Lord, keep me from getting puffed up and proud and arrogant and vain in this flesh, because that's what I'm going to do. Lord, except You keep me by Your grace. And I want to glorify You. I want to walk in the light of Your truth in Christ. And so that's a breathing out. Abba, Father, keep me, Lord. Keep my heart. Because I'm not always looking at those things in my flesh. In fact, I'm never looking at those things in my flesh. I only look at them when my heart's set upon You, Lord. So keep my heart. Keep me looking. All right? And so we begin in prayer, and as Paul says, we close in prayer. Always praying throughout, because there's always something that knocks that off and turns our hearts back to fleshly things. So I pray the Lord bless that to your hearts, brethren. Amen.